Welcome to Dial M from April, the AV Club's deep dive look at Riverdale. Today we're back in the boxing ring after a brief hiatus with the episode Jawbreaker. I'm your host, Mara Eakin, and I'm joined, as always, by Cameron Sheets. Cameron, hi.
Hi, we're back.
Thank God.
Yeah, it was a weird 3 weeks off, I feel like.
I know.
I mean, we've been busy, certainly, but...
But, like, I missed our pals.
Yeah. I wondered if, like, how intentional Sabrina Part 2 dropping in that hiatus was.
That's a good question.
Because it definitely worked to some degree, although I have not gotten to watch all of it, but...
Yeah, I do feel like... I didn't get as much hype around that the show's second season as maybe the first.
Yeah, I know. I thought that too. I mean, the billboards were inescapable in LA at least.
Yeah, first but if you go anywhere else like in the world, it's not necessarily I know.
But I think that there was some stats that like Sabrina is one of the most like watched Netflix original series.
Good. Maybe or it has something like that. Hype among maybe if I'm like a teen and I use Instagram, I see ads for it. You know what I mean?
I mean, you do use Instagram and you're only like a few over.
I'm a mere 20 years older than a teen, right. Than like the high end teenager. Yeah.
Yeah. High end teen.
But also during that time, what came out is Cammy's Netflix movie, speaking of Netflix.
Oh, yeah.
The Perfect Date.
And you watched it.
I have seen it.
What?
She plays a very thin character, not meaning skinny, although she is, but just like she's like a rich girl that's beautiful and people like her.
That was like not far. That sounds not far removed from her character in The New Romantic.
It's kind of a bummer sometimes. Yeah. Movie. Like make better choices.
Well, while we're talking about her and her movie roles, did you see that she got a part in a Lonely Island movie, an Andy Samberg movie?
I did. I saw you post that.
Like that I'm ready for.
I am not ready for KJ's new role in like the Christian music biopic.
I have this in the blue and gold. I was like, we have to talk about that.
Okay, well, then we'll get to
that. We'll put a pin in it.
Let's
start with our ice puncher, as we always do. This one is a little more serious and episode-focused than normal, but I'm just wondering if you think Betty goes too far in this episode.
No, I never think Betty goes too far.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I guess I could say that, but no.
There were times where I'm like, oh, my God, but...
When she kidnaps her mom, like, shit's got... I don't know. It's like she's got to get deprogrammed.
Desperate times. Yeah. Call for desperate measures.
She probably could use some help, but there we are.
I like that the show let her do that. I think it shows how invest... Like, for all intents and purposes, Betty is, like, the heart and soul of the show, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and so I think it just shows how well the show is done to like lay that groundwork that we can like let her do these things. Mm-hmm. And it all happens. And it's not like she doesn't self-examine. She asks Tony, she's like, am I bad?
I don't think Tony knows the extent of like Betty's badness, but
absolutely
I appreciate her asking that.
Mm-hmm. But it really was like not for Tony. It's like, that's Betty in the moment, like really trying to like process this herself. But yeah. I agree. I don't think she went too far either. She does what she's got to do. And you know, even though this kind of ends with her, like, giving Alice back to the farm, you know that's not her final move.
No, because we see what comes after that as well.
You're right.
With Tony, the aforementioned
Tony. Of course. Well,
let's talk about FP and Jug. Let's start the app where the app starts, I guess.
This is, like, part of why I thought it was so odd that we had a three-week break, is that this episode really, more than others even, picks up immediately where we left off with the last one, where you have them looking at baby teethless body, and you also have Betty talking to Edgar. But yeah, he's got the Gargoyle King mark.
He died from having his teeth pulled.
Yeah.
Which seems unlikely, but okay, here we are.
Yeah, I guess he just like bled out that way. That's really dark.
You couldn't lose, whatever.
And it's
a TV show.
Yeah, for sure.
You couldn't lose that much blood through your teeth being pulled, but.
Yeah, I mean, maybe he also was on. Maybe they, like, drug them
a
up,
blood
too.
Blood thinner, yeah.
Oh, maybe. That, too, yeah. Jug and FP are, like, is it a copycat killer? Is the original Gargoyle King back and he was, who we thought we apprehended before wasn't him? I don't know. They're kind of, like, weighing the theories that we've been weighing for the past few episodes anyway.
I think the original one is back, question mark. I don't, who fucking knows? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, I don't think that these capers always stand the test of like if you really lay it all out and be like,
sure,
this makes no sense. But that's how it works out by the end of the season.
I think we should be, for the show's sake, operating under the assumption that the Gargoyle King that is quote unquote back now is the one that started doing shit when the Midnight Club was active.
Mm-hmm.
I think that that's how our two interpret it.
I agree.
But I don't know.
I think that's what they want you to think.
Yeah, for sure. They do.
Mm-hmm.
And everything else was just decoy, fake, tall boy being tall,
mm-hmm.
up to his tall antics.
Well, they also, in Baby Teeth's throat, I will say, I mean, before we get too deep into this, this was a very Twin Peaks-y episode.
Mm-hmm.
Like, as far as, like, aesthetics and the murder and, like, standing around looking at the body.
Yeah.
That's a good point. The creepy coroner, the photos and the fire, that all that kind of stuff. The car, the gravestone. Super Twin Peaks-y. Not as weird, obviously, but it would be very hard to explain why the show went, like, wildly weird.
Right.
Anyways, so they find a matchbook for the Maple Club, which is kind of Twin Peaks-y as well, in Baby Teeth's throat.
Wild. How'd I get
there?
It
makes not much sense. It's, like, it's supposed to be a sign.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like if you're going to, like, lodge something in someone's throat, it's, like, a sign. Do you know what I mean? Like,
right.
A calling card kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I'm like, is it Penelope?
Well, I mean, of course, that's where my brain immediately goes insane with them because they go to talk to her immediately. I do really briefly want to throw to the...
And that weird girl.
Oh, yeah. Rosemary, I think.
Yeah.
Interesting name. Let's throw to this soundbite from Curdle Jr. because he is on 11 right now.
There's one more ghoulish detail I discovered during the autopsy. There was something lodged in his throat.
What the hell is that?
A matchbook from the Maple Club.
I thought I'd seen the true face of evil. But this, whoever did this, isn't even human.
All right, he was. He really delivers.
He's like just so late night spooky TV host sort of like. Mm-hmm. I mean, they even like pale. They have to be paling him up with makeup.
Yeah.
He looks like a skeleton.
Whoa. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's nuts.
And then that's like one of those classic moments where it's like something insane is said. And then we get the Riverdale logo,
mm-hmm.
which I always love those moments anyway. But to bring it back to our previous point. So, yeah, Jughead and FP follow the very obvious clue to the Maple Club. And they talk to Penelope. And she's like, yeah, Baby Teeth was a customer. What mm-hmm. We don't really get a lot out of that.
Sexually satisfied. And he was on drugs.
Yeah. Sexually
satisfied.
And then
satisfied. You get to see... Really, it just lends you to this, like, other guy that's basically, like, barking like a dog. And
right.
Just, like, foaming at the mouth.
I was like, what are we about to see?
Mm-hmm.
But...
They put him in jail.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, let him sober up in here. And then they eventually question him. FB and Jug.
He's, like, rabid, though. It's worth noting, like, foaming at the mouth.
Because he's taking G.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, like, a gargoyle doctored up version of Jingle Jangle. Not Jingle Jangle, Fizzy Rock.
Yeah. Just the giant G on the packaging.
Gatorade.
It looks like Gatorade. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Had the same thought. Which is interesting. And you're like, okay, well, this is obviously not going to be the last we see of somebody like having this weird rabid breakout.
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, like later, a little bit later on, we see a cheerleader back
like
in her
a very
head.
Slim, creepy cheerleader.
Total Bird Box vibes there.
Yeah.
Because I think the first person you see like affected in Bird Box is like smashing her head up against the glass window of a hallway.
I always think that that's... Very creepy. Like there was
Oh, Bird Box?
No. People smashing their head just like wildly.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
It's creepy.
I've
seen it IRL in my high school.
Oh my god.
Not a drug situation.
I was gonna say G related.
It is very scary.
It's wild because you know that
was 20 plus years ago and I remember it vividly.
Yeah, I can't imagine.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's really intense to see even in the show.
Yeah.
Even though there's like red paint on the locker and you know it's not real, but like to see her just...
There's a lot of blood in the set.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Twin Peaks.
Like it's
I
just
guess.
Like flying around the boxing ring. Later.
Yeah, totally.
Pools of it.
Right when that cheerleader gets discovered, FP calls Jug and he has found somebody else too.
Can I also say that no one fucking does anything with that cheerleader? They're like, do something. And they wait for like two other like tiny ass cheerleaders to grab her. It's like, Archie, you're standing right there. Like, you're a big dude.
That's a great point.
Her. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, she was.
It's so strange.
She was tall compared to the other ones, too. They really
like,
had
come on. Jug, Jesus.
We don't really know because the other guys go to jail. We don't know where she goes.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I was
to the nurse.
About this development. I hope we get more of it in the episodes to come because this feels to me like if the show is ever going to do anything remotely close to like Afterlife with Archie zombies, this is probably
But I mean, if they apprehended Kurtz, I don't know, then maybe there's not anywhere out there.
Yeah. I mean, there's still there. I guess there could
if
be.
If he was cooking it.
Mm-hmm. Just depends how like deep that circle, which we never have any good sense of, but.
No, never.
Another big plot off the top of the ep, of course, as we mentioned, this picks up right where we left off. So we get Betty talking to Edgar and he tells her his story. It doesn't.
Total bullshit.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't answer anything because even if it is true to some extent, it's like, okay, but really, like what's going on?
Would you like to know my Edgar theory now or later?
Now. Let's do it.
Edgar's chick.
Edgar's
Charles.
Edgar is actually Charles. Wow. Okay.
Where he was like, I bottomed out and then I went and found this place. Like he's had his whole life to figure out like how to be charismatic and manipulative and like how to kind of come back through Riverdale where his mom is. Do you know what I mean? Like and fuck up like the relationship between his mom and his sister who had like got to live with his mom.
Yeah.
Maybe Polly, he's better with Polly, whatever. And he also has like a very thin backstory. Do you know
totally.
What I mean?
Yeah.
So
and he's blonde.
He's blonde. He looks like he could be related to Alice. I just feel like it's icky. That
it's
being said, like I don't
super icky.
Later on, Betty's like, Are you and Edgar getting married?
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, we have a special understanding. Like, I don't think they're physical. I don't know.
Yeah, I didn't know how to interpret that scene at all. I was like,
I just feel like we're talking about Charles an awful lot.
Yeah, oh,
and
we
to
totally
me, like
are.
That in this show, historically, when that happens, then like it's kind of done in a way also to remind you that like that is a storyline that exists.
Right.
And so.
Yeah, it's basically the same sort of thing as you get the previously on at the beginning of the episode and like Charles. It's like, okay, well, we're obviously going to hear more about him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a great point.
Or like he's dead, but they've never found him, you know, no one knows where he is. But oh, yeah, he's dead because we've all heard he's dead. You know? Like,
so then the age thing comes into question where it's like.
How old is he really?
Yeah. And I mean, then how old is Evelyn? Is she actually his daughter? There's a lot of people that believe that Evelyn's like never been kissing the school.
I don't disagree. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting point about Charles. I mean, that kind of brings up. The initial thrust of this episode is Jug tells Betty, like, all she has to do, and I guess Hal agrees and tries to help, is all she has to do is prove to Alice that he's actually dead, which is pretty dark.
And you know, the second they're like, we'll just show him the gravestone, she'll believe it. I'm like, that's never going to work.
No. Also, how did
Betty,
she do that?
Also, Betty, very expensive.
Yeah.
Gravestones are very expensive.
I mean, I guess it's worth it for her to get her mom back on the right side of things.
Yeah.
But.
And local.
Yeah, totally.
Unless they drove to another town or something, but.
Yeah, does Hal know a guy? Like, where did that?
I mean, name's Charles Smith. Like, it's not.
That's
you could
true.
Probably find a Charles Smith gravestone somewhere.
I kind of had that thought, too. I was like.
Hopefully not with, like, dates on it, though.
Maybe she just Sharpied those in. We couldn't tell.
Yeah. Well, there's no dates on it, so. Yeah.
The other side of this, like, this thing is obviously Cheryl's all in on the farm now, and she's strutting down the hall in white with her new crew.
Yeah, she doesn't consistently wear white, though. It's not always white.
That's
just
what
like,
I thought.
It's just, like, wear white to school Wednesdays or whatever.
Only wear white when we're all walking down the hallway together, and then you can change for other scenes.
It's like Mean Girls, yeah.
It totally is. And so Tony watches her walk by, and it's like, oh, yeah, they haven't talked about this. That's weird, but.
They're still dating. I forgot.
Yeah, mm-hmm. They did get back together.
Mm-hmm.
And Betty tries to get Tony to do the same thing she's trying to do with her mom, which is like prove to her that Jason's dead, and really dark suggestion of showing Cheryl the footage of her father shooting her brother.
It kind of makes sense in a way. Like that's the shocking way that you could do it. I love Cheryl's like QAnon conspiracy bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
Like she's like full right wing. Anything can be doctored. That's clearly, you know. I guess she's technically right. And then I love how Tony is like, have you hugged Jason? Of course. You know, that kind of thing. So
yeah.
I don't know. I like it. And then I like the way she like uses sex to get her from going to kombucha night.
Yeah, that was a good move on Tony's part for sure. So there's that back to the Betty Alice of it all. Obviously, the gravestone doesn't fully work.
So she ethers her.
Yeah, she chloroforms the shit out of her own mom. Let's play the soundbite from the car real quick.
It's just so sad. I know, Mom. so sad that you won't let me be happy at the farm. I don't know when you're gonna give up, Betty.
You saw his gravestone.
I'm sorry, Betty, but I spoke to my son this morning.
I just like that whole moment of, it's just so sad.
Yeah.
But sorry, you were going to say chloroform.
Yeah. And then she tries to, this is your life.
Yeah, totally.
Kind of thing.
Chains her up in the bunker.
And then Alice burns all the photos, which is a super bummer.
I know. That's so sad. Yeah. I mean, it is sad. The house stuff is wild. And, to really think of her as a real woman, it's like, oh, yeah, you're the man that you, fell in love with and had children with has been a secret serial killer this whole time is, something that obviously the show is still using in its favor. It's like, yeah, that's a lot to go through. So it makes sense that she'd turn to the farm.
Speaking of, did Betty ever get her college fund back?
I don't think so. She's not going.
Her dad was, going to sign it, right?
Maybe he wanted
her to do something, and I can't remember.
Yeah.
What else?
I mean, it was weird seeing him again just because it's been a minute now.
We think he's going to come into play.
Al's better in prison than he was ever as just a normal dad. Mm-hmm.
His creepy painting corner and stuff.
Yeah. I love that.
Do you think he's going to ask for, whatever.
Oh, right.
Because he wants to get out.
Yeah. He's going to want exonerated or something somehow. The other plot that gets set up in the first half of the episode, of course, is the boxing ring, which I was like, oh boy, here we go. But
the El Royale.
Yeah.
And it's also setting up Veronica and Archie to get back together. When Josie was are those new shorts? Not to hop around.
No.
Oh, right. They're still together. Mm-hmm. technically.
Right. She only has that scene in the episode.
Yeah. She's never around otherwise.
Oh, yeah. But, right. Archie essentially needs Veronica because his club gym needs sponsored so that they can be part of this Gilded Gloves thing. Thank you. Fix the typo for me.
They're not in the
Writers
Guild.
You're right. We stand with the WGA. Yeah. Basically, they go on TV via Alice's radio TV
RIBW.
Broadcast. Yeah.
It's they couldn't get WRIB. That's right. A real station.
RIV. And right, that's where Veronica announces that Pops is sponsoring their wrestling gym or boxing gym. Wow, sorry, different sport. All the same to me. And then Archie's like, Randy, I want a rematch, which Elio is, of course, okay, well.
I love how bad he is at cue cards.
Oh, yeah. I was thinking.
And it's also a commercial, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's come down to my gym and you get 3 training sessions free. It's like, this is not an interview, Alice.
No.
You're just creating SponCon.
I mean, that is a lot of local news, though,
yeah.
To be fair. But yeah, I did like the touch that Archie's not the best at it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. And that's kind of where the only other thing. Oh, yeah. Randy is now middleweight class. And so Archie has to bulk up. And so he's just shown eating a lot of burgers.
That's basically how are we going to get Archie to hang out at Pops a bunch?
Right. Have him eat burgers.
Mm-hmm. More 153. Time. 153.
Oh, yeah. I know. I was really? He's so.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I feel like that's a lot of muscle to only weigh 153, but maybe I'm...
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe that's what he really weighs.
Maybe.
In real life.
I'm not sure. But let's take a break. That's kind of the halfway point. And we'll be right back.
Hey, Dial In for Maple listeners. It's Mara here with Cameron. Cameron, hi.
Hey.
So this week on Riverdale... the El Royale Gym offers a fitness deal where you can get 3 free personal training sessions with Archie. What an offer. But if you're also interested in maybe not the most physical aspects of fitness, but still very important fitness stuff.
Yep.
Cam and I have been checking out this thing called Care Of, which is vitamins and supplements.
Yeah. There's an easier way than going to the gym and having to fight Randy, it turns out.
Yeah. It's a monthly subscription vitamin service that delivers completely personalized vitamin and supplement packs right to your door. Cameron,
yeah.
You checked it out, as
yeah,
did I.
I did.
We've talked about it a little, but are you still taking them? What are your thoughts?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, it feels so nice to kind of work it into the routine of the day, and I feel like I'm doing something right in the morning, which is usually a really hard thing for me to do. Right, we talked about it before, and it's I don't necessarily know what vitamins or supplements I should be taking right off the top of my head. I'm that's probably good for me. But Care Of is kind of just designed to personalize that process for you and really help you hone in on what it is you should be taking what you need. And the obviously the kind of the fun of it is there's this quiz that they have you take online, which we both took.
Yeah.
And we liked.
You take it, you like end up with like things you've never even heard of and things that you have heard of. And then it takes about 5 minutes. It's super well designed, super kind of like fun and helpful. You get a list of what you should be taking, and then your personalized little subscription packs, your personalized box, like a little stack, gets sent to your house every month. And it's great. You can pop one in your purse or your backpack, your pocket, take it at lunch, take it earlier.
Yeah.
It has a little inspirational quote or like a little game for the day on
which
it.
Which I need that too.
I like That's to look at them. It's like a really fun thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It just makes it easy for someone. I feel like I'm so scatterbrained. So there's a vitamin for that one. But also, like, this just really helps make it easy. So
yeah,
it's great. I mean, obviously, we're talking a little bit about it. I mean, we're excited that we also have a chance to, like, offer a little bit of a discount to our listeners.
Yeah, if you are interested in getting 50% off your first month of personalized care of vitamins, and Lord knows I love a deal. You can ask anyone that knows me. I am like the coupon queen.
Mm-hmm.
You go to takecareof.com. So the website's takecareof.com. And you can enter code DIALM50. It's takecareof.com, DIALM50. And you get half off your first month, which is pretty incredible.
I love a bargain.
It's honestly cheaper than if you went to the store and like bought everything yourself.
Or if you went to El Royale.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, yeah, those like three training sessions are just trying to get you in the door.
I know. And then they like lock you in for life. And then you just have to kind of like be there and sit watching the background while like Josie and Veronica kind of like awkwardly fight over Archie.
It seems fun, but it's not.
Listen, Care of's the easy way to do it. We'll just say that.
The easy way, the cheaper way, the better way, the more sustainable, healthy way.
Yeah. So check it out. Get 50% off. And we will catch you later, Bulldogs.
All right, we are back, and we are confronting Evelyn Ever-Ever.
Yeah, I mean, this was one of my favorite parts of the episode because of Tony. I mean, Evelyn's, like, at this point, post-kombucha, post-Cheryl being MIA at kombucha night, is like, okay, Tony's getting in the way of this. I need to do something. And they have this interaction, which I would love to play. Let's hear that soundbite.
Evelyn, what are you doing?
Tony, you're detracting Cheryl from her studies at the farm, but I'm not gonna let you ruin her.
Ruin her? Bitch, I love her. And she loves me.
The farm is fulfilling Cheryl in ways you can't even begin to imagine.
I find that hard to believe.
Have a blessed day.
I mean, mostly ruin her, bitch. I'm in love with her is the line of the night in my mind.
Mm-hmm. Have a blessed day.
Yeah. Also a great way to end that. Yeah. So we know that we're kind of headed towards something there. I mean, a little bit later on, Cheryl then comes over to Tony and it's like, Evelyn's forcing me to choose. Yeah.
It's Jason or you.
Yeah. And Tony's like, okay, well, there's another solution. And then we get that scene of them in all white again, walking down the hallway.
Yeah.
And
Tony is headband city this week. They always put her like in a big cloth headband. It's like, looks tough and good.
Feels very Sporty Spice. Mm-hmm. I liked it. I like that. I mean, just them in all white in the hallway is really funny to me. Yeah. I feel like Fangs is making a super goofy face in one of those scenes too, that like killed me.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird.
So impractical.
Yeah. It's weird that he's in the farm full on now, but also just in Archie's boxing club.
Oh, he is?
Yeah, we've like seen him in the background of scenes. He was
it's
like
they need another background.
Yeah, totally.
Like, well, you know, we have him booked for the week, so
we need one person from the club to say one line so you get this context. And it's like, okay,
so we don't have to pay an extra to say a line. Yeah.
Right. So Tony joins, and I mean, this is her, like, the end of that little story is we see her talking to Betty, and it's like, I'm in. And
Someone had to fucking join.
Right.
Someone had to underground it.
Well, I would ask, like, why do we not think the same thing will happen to her that happened to Cheryl? But it's like, Tony has a really good head on her shoulders.
Well, she also might not have the secrets that these other guys
That's
have.
True.
Do
That's
you know
true.
What I mean?
I think you're probably right. She's very, like, this is me. Greatest showman.
And she's, yes, greatest showman. She's greatest showmaning. Mm-hmm. she also has a background in gang stuff.
True.
And so in like kind of duplicitous.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like she's not as easily corruptible, one might hope.
Yeah, I'm not really worried about her in that sense for sure.
Compartmentalizing.
But yeah, the Betty of it all. I mean, right, we mentioned Alice is burning the photos. Betty is, I mean, worth mentioning because I didn't before after that last soundbite that like, I think Lily's great and I truly think Majin's like, this is amazing work mm-hmm. from her. This is like, you know, it's her big showy moment, but I think she does it really, really well. It's super believable. But Betty is like, I don't know, a last resort, decides to threaten Evelyn in the hallway, like threaten her life.
Yeah. She's scary. Mm-hmm. I mean, do you know what I mean? Because Evelyn totally. Does know what she's capable of.
Yeah.
Because Evelyn knows all of her crazy secrets.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, whether or not Betty would ever do anything, she totally can make that threat.
Right, right. And I mean, we even hear via that one of the tapes that Betty still is holding on to that Alice is like kind of freaked out of what of Betty and what she's capable mm-hmm. of. And I think that that's where she's starting to
I don't
be like,
no,
you don't
that
think
tape,
she is.
That tape to me is like very strange. It's like, what? But Betty's a good person, Alice. And then it just seems very like pieced together or stilted.
Interesting.
Or something weird. Suggestive, maybe like he's holding a sign for her to read. Do you mm-hmm. know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. it's very strange.
That's one of those things that I just took at face value. But now that you bring it up, I'm like, oh, yeah, I don't know. Maybe I should be questioning anything that's coming from the farm.
I don't think she's scared of whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I do think that there's something about it where it's like, obviously, she was hoodwinked, for lack of a better term, by the Black Hood, by Hal. And so I think that there is something where it's like, if that is who you married and had kids with, you can't not be a little anxious about your children like following some sort or having some of those genes, mm-hmm. that serial killer gene. Because yeah. I guess it's out there.
But Alice killed that dude. Like, mm-hmm. do you know, whatever.
Right, right.
But, she's also never been like the most together person. So.
Oh, Alice? No. No way. Yeah, she's been like, she's really fluctuated between being like a terrible mom. I mean, she was pretty actively working against her daughter for most of the first season.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like it only was in season two that they really started making her someone you root for more. Mm-hmm. Obviously, that became the case when her own husband was a serial killer. But mm-hmm. yeah, all this is like really making Betty self-reflect. She's like, have I gone too far? She decides to give Alice back over to the farm in Evelyn. Mm-hmm. Which is
take care of my mom.
Yeah.
So like, in a way, this seems very not charitable, but like mm-hmm. truthful. Like mm-hmm. it's like, you know what? Like she is in a bad place and like I can't take care of her and it's just gonna be a strain on me and like and on her and whatever. But it's also like, but I'm also trying to fucking break you guys from the inside.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't know. I do think that it's can't think of the word here. It's not ostentatious. It's it's not somewhere in my mind what this big word is.
It's
thoughtful. I don't know, whatever
sure.
it is. It does seem like she believes that in some sense.
Yeah, totally. I mean, this is just like,
but she's not walking away forever.
Alice is the battle and yeah. she's kind of giving that up. But the war, of course, is yeah. the farm. And mm-hmm. she knows that there's got to be ways we can
yeah,
fight back.
Yeah, there's strategic ways to mm-hmm. do it.
Because her, yeah, she just, it's going to be too damaging for her relationship with her mom, which is like, if she got her mom back, but like irreparably damaged their relationship, then what's the point anyway?
And all those photos. You just can't like yeah. risk all those
pretty
photos
sad.
Anymore.
Where the hell's Polly, by the way?
Polly's in deep. She's in the farm.
Yeah, I know, but it just feels weird that she's not.
As a mom of twins, Cameron, it is hard to be everywhere at once.
Okay, you are right.
I'm just joking.
That's a great point. I always forget that you are like bringing that experience to the
yeah.
table. So it's like
you
understand.
Really speak to her truth.
speaking
to truth, Archie is getting, it is, okay, I don't know if you've ever watched boxing.
Mm.
This is like the most fast and furious boxing round of all time. Mm-hmm. Whereas it's like punch, 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 punch.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Both of them. There is no dancing.
Definitely. I've pretty recently been like, boxing, I'm over it. It's just a way for the
yes.
show to throw stakes in. But I thought that this one was pretty strong. I thought it was filmed well.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, you know.
He had his hood up for approximately 1 second. Yeah. Like, Keller, like, slowly put it on him, and, like, the second he leaves the thing, he's like, my hood's coming down.
Yep.
It's fucking stupid. But I, yeah, it was well done. And I kind of wanted Archie to lose.
Sure. I mean, we know he's not going to get murdered in this ring, but.
But he murders someone.
Yeah.
That's what I was like, oh, he's going to kill that dude.
I mean, again, that hadn't really crossed my mind. But yeah, when he's just out, it's kind of a wild moment. And I think the question is really like, well, obviously the G had something to do with him. Well, made him rabid. But like, is he dying because that just like, did he have like a mini heart attack? That sort probably. Of thing. But it's going to look like it's on Archie
now. And like
now.
His brain's probably like exploding. Mm-hmm. And then he gets fucking clocked.
Right. Yeah, that's pretty nuts.
It could make him have a stroke.
So the big thing coming out of this is like, okay, how much does this land on Archie now?
All of it.
Is he going to be on trial again?
Because Archie had the option to forfeit. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But he's like, no, I got to win.
Right.
So I think he's going to take it on.
Does not
big time.
Look good on him.
No.
You brought up Veronica gifting Archie that thing. I had that soundbite that I wanted to play, not so much for the Varchi of it all, but for the Fred Andrews of it all. So let's hear that really briefly.
I'm always in your corner. I should go. Still lots to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Bye.
See you later.
Flying a little close to the sun there, aren't you?
We're friends now, Dad.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Friends.
Just classic cute Fred.
It's classic Fred.
Yeah, friends. Uh-huh.
And then I loved watching Fred, speaking of, on the sidelines.
Yeah.
Where he's just like...
The, like, stage parent kind of, like, yeah. Doing this little, like, getting
but
into
also,
the
like,
jabs
But also, like, watching
himself.
Your kid, like, get the shit beat out of him is like...
It's a cute moment, and I'm glad we got it because I don't know how many more scenes we'll have of Fred.
Yeah, Fred rolls solo a lot, too.
Yeah, true, for sure.
Yeah.
He kind of, these past few episodes, he's just kind of been popping by to, like, say something sweet. And it's nice to see, for sure. But
yeah. I think some shit's going to go down with that.
But yeah.
We'll see when we get
right,
there.
Right, right. Final plot line wrapping up. I mean, the Jones family stuff. I mean, one, we see Jellybean playing G&G with little Ricky, which is bad.
Yeah, he's reemerged.
I do like that her elf like hat headband thing is like one of those Christmas ones.
Yeah. It's cute.
I was happy to see her in a scene, but I was like, oh boy, here we go. I don't know. They find out again through the Maple Club, like basically where they can find Kurtz and where he's like dealing this G. Oh, yeah, because the rabid dudes come down and they tell him.
Yeah. That it was Kurtz.
That Kurtz is.
And then they extremely unsubtly like park outside this boxing venue and then see him, arrest him. And he's like, haha, like you don't know my whole game.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's Save the Princess, which is your daughter. So they're like, Jellybean?
Yep. I like.
But it's also when you say save the princess. Hmm. What does that mean? I mean, does it mean she's abducted?
I mean.
Because it's probably. Kill the Red Paladin. Do you know what I mean? Like, they're not killing her.
No. I think that, right, she's just being held somewhere by the Gargoyle King. And I guess that's the rules of the game always are like, what?
Mm-hmm.
But what's exciting to me about that is the thought that. Where that puts Gladys, because whether or not we don't know like how involved she really is with like the gargoyle stuff, the drugs, we know she is to some extent, but it's like, I don't know. I mean, I think in theory she needs to work with Jughead and FP to like help figure this out now, or she's like in on it fully and she's like Jellybean's just safely with her, but
yeah, like she's going to use, it's like some ploy to get FP to agree to something. Using Jellybean as bait.
Right. Interesting.
But then it did look like Jellybean was legitimately scared and like confused by it.
Totally. I mean, how can you not be? Good to see fashion icon Gargoyle King back. I was saying that. I mean, that was the fall fashion icon, but now it was kind of a good spring look too.
There is still another week of Coachella left. So.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
Somebody needs to show up with twigs and antlers. Mm-hmm. And
have you watched Drag? You have Drag Race.
Oh yeah.
Remember Scarlet and V's Fire Island Witch?
Oh,
from
yeah.
From the ball episode, Monsters Ball. Gargoyle King.
Yeah, basically the same thing.
let's take a break.
Yeah.
And we'll come back and wrap it up.
Sounds good. Hey guys, Cameron here. If you're like me, getting up isn't the hard part of the morning, it's getting out of the door on time. I spend so much of my morning scrolling through tweets and Riverdale theories that I barely leave myself enough time to eat breakfast, let alone put pants on. So that's why I'm so grateful for Daily Harvest. It's a delicious, healthy breakfast in 5 minutes max, and it all comes in a perfectly portable single-serve cup. It really couldn't be any easier. Daily Harvest offers a selection of fresh organic foods that put Pop's chocolate shop to shame. There's over 50 options, including smoothies, savory bowls, overnight oats, and more, and they're delivered right to your door. So all you have to do is keep them in your freezer until you're ready to eat, and then it's as simple as adding water, blending with milk, or popping in the microwave. Daily Harvest is the easiest, most delicious way to load up on fruits and vegetables first thing in the morning, before bed, and anytime in between. And because I'm such a fan, Dial In for Maple is offering all you Riverdale fans out there 3 free cups in your first order. All you have to do is go to daily-harvest.com and enter promo code DIALM to get 3 free cups in your first box. That's promo code DIALM for 3 free Daily Harvest cups at daily-harvest.com. Again, daily-harvest.com. Catch you later, Bulldogs.
All right, we are back with our episode recap. Cameron, your thoughts?
I had a nice time.
Thumbs up, thumbs down.
Thumbs up for me. Mm-hmm. I had a nice time. I think a lot of the thoughts I jotted down about the epic general we have talked about, but like really like the Betty stuff. I really like the moment of self-reflection.
You thought she went too far though, from what I'm reading here.
I think she does get a little too extreme, but it's like the show balances it well. I mean, you're still on her side. I mm-hmm. think she does get too extreme, but not to the point where I'm like, oh, I'm not with Betty anymore. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? It's a delicate balance. And the boxing I liked. Oh, and then just in general, I'm like,
I am a little bit like, okay, boxing.
Yeah. I mean, how many more times can we really use it as the climax of an episode? But it was interesting here, and I like how that ended. And then more than anything, I want more rabid Riverdale zombies.
Yeah, I like them. I like, again, this is like, it's a little Twin Peaks where it's just like people, it's like Bob or whatever from Twin Peaks. People just like kind of freaking mm-hmm. out.
It's just,
and I like that they're going like a little nuts and not like, it's kind of believable in a way.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it doesn't feel too far off from what I had read about like those people that would do bath salts and like eat people's faces.
Apparently that was not real.
Oh, really?
Or, like that guy wasn't really on bath salts, whatever.
But someone did eat someone's face, so.
Yes, I think it's possible. That was just like a person with mental illness, but.
Oof, yikes. Okay, well, mm-hmm. you know.
But yes, people certainly have done like incredibly crazy things mm-hmm. on certain drugs.
It's such a, I like really don't know where we're headed, and I do like have faith that the show pulls it all off, but to like really think about these like spike drugs and like the Gargoyle Gang, but then the Gargoyle King and the game and the farm, like does this really all come together?
Yeah, it's tough. And plus Fred.
Mm-hmm.
Like how does this all play out?
Yeah, totally. And how involved are the lodges? I mean, it's weird to think that we didn't really hear from them this episode. Which,
no, they had the week off. There were some few like main characters that had a week off.
Yeah, totally. As much as I like both of the lodges, like the actors and whatnot, as much as I like Mark and Marisol, it's like we didn't need them this episode at all.
No.
It kind of would have felt like more of the same. So that's the up.
I like how sometimes they have these like ancillary players, like your Majin, your Marks, people with like full families at home.
Yeah.
And they're like, you guys get the week off. Yeah, do you know what I mean?
That's
like,
nice for them.
Go take a couple weeks. Go actually see your like kids. Mm-hmm.
Go back to LA or New York or wherever you live.
Go like guest host Live with Kelly.
Mm-hmm. 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 Which I would totally jump at if I were them. Like, of course. Shall we jump into the speculation booth?
Yes, let us pop a squat at the speculation booth, which is where we run down all our theories about the show.
Mm-hmm.
You have some questions here. Is Randy dead? I think so. I think he's fucking dead.
Yeah.
The show only gets rid of like really dispensable characters. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like your Midges or your baby teats.
Right.
So I think Randy's dead.
Randy's very dispensable.
Also, Randy's very Canadian. Like he was like,
yeah,
I've got to knock him out. And I was like, okay, this guy is a regional actor.
I love that.
Yeah.
all the maple syrup made him grow up nice mm-hmm. and strong. That's a bad. Yeah, I mean, I think that I assume the same thing, but it's like the implications of him being dead, as we kind of touched on, are interesting. I mean, do we have Archie back in court? Do we see Penelope Ann Miller's like attorney back?
I don't think he's going to jail. I don't think he's going to court, and I don't think he's going to jail because like he was on drugs. Like Curdle Jr. or whatever is going to do an autopsy and be like, yeah, it was because he was on G. Mm-hmm. Like Archie was fighting a fair fight. Like it was because mm-hmm. he was juiced up and like it's not Archie's fault.
How?
He hit him fairly.
Yeah, for sure.
It wasn't like he put like a brick in his glove. And, yeah. You know?
Yeah, he wasn't doing anything else unless they try and frame him for like drugging him up too. But
everyone saw that it wasn't him. Yeah,
that's true. How does that work? And have people died in boxing matches before? I'm sure. How does that work then?
I guess people died in baseball.
Like, yeah, you're right.
Getting hit by a ball. Like, it's just, like, very sad.
Yeah. And that's why I don't play sports.
Part of the game.
It's not because I'm not athletic. I'm just afraid of dying.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Of course.
Okay, interesting. The next question I had put down is what happens to Jellybean, which, you know, we think she's probably kidnapped. But mm-hmm. does the Gargoyle King have a personal vendetta against the Joneses is kind of what I'm wondering.
Maybe. Depends who the Gargoyle King is, I suppose.
Yeah. It could come back to the high school days.
I mean, it has sort of felt like the Gargoyle King has used the kids.
Yeah.
To get to the parents.
That's true. That's very true. It's always been kind
of
that.
And Jellybean is just kind of... you know, the latest easily manipulated kid.
Right. Poor thing. She mm-hmm. just got back to town and now she's already.
Well, that's what happens. That's why you don't live in Riverdale.
Yeah, of course. You got to stay away from little Ricky.
He went to Toledo.
Is Tony in danger of getting stuck on the farm? We think not.
I think it's possible. I don't know that Tony has like any incredibly loved. Well, I don't know. Where's Tony's mom and dad?
I mean, yeah, we really don't know. Yeah. We only know her grandpa.
Her Native American grandpa.
Yeah.
The Utena. Utena, yeah.
One of the original serpents.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's weird because it doesn't, they're definitely not in the picture. I mean, it seems like because she's just been living in Cheryl's and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. I don't know. I think she's fine, though. I agree. Like, I don't really know.
I think she has to be fine because otherwise this drags on for an eternity.
Oh, for sure.
Betty needs an inside man. That's who it's going to be.
Yeah, and she's the right one for the job because she has a good head on her shoulders, mm-hmm. as we said.
Speaking of Betty, what's her next move? I think she just, like, rides this. I mean, again, we watched the screener. We haven't seen the preview for next week's episode. Mm-hmm. So we could be 100% wrong here. I think she just, like, tries to get information from Tony and then kind of take it from there.
Yeah.
Maybe she has questions for Tony that she wants like Tony to answer from inside.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Like find this.
Yeah. I mean, I think that, right. She's planning to take a little bit more of a backseat while Tony's like scouting. I do know from the episode description the following week that it says that Betty makes a surprising discovery about Evelyn's past, which is like, okay, is this what we've been waiting for?
That she's old as hell.
And it's like, maybe Betty is taking a backseat, and if she finds that out, then it's like, that's obviously going to be like, okay, this is all bullshit because...
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting to think like, how is Betty even going to take the farm down? Because like, I mean, again, Riverdale doesn't operate it in like a normal world, but I don't know. How do you do it? Like legally? No.
Right.
You know,
right.
Like... Is the mayor going to run it out of town? Like, maybe that's how, you know, it's just.
Yeah.
Is it public court of opinion? You know, is it.
I really don't know how you. I also didn't ever watch all of Wild Wild Country, and I don't really know how that
Neither
ends.
Neither did I. But I did watch the documentary now.
Oh, okay.
There was a take on it, yeah.
With Owen Wilson?
Yeah.
So how did they get rid of the. Doesn't really come up.
Owen Wilson gets hit by a car.
Oh, my God.
At the end. It's a. Yeah. Hmm.
Interesting. I should watch. Do my research.
It's not. My favorite documentary now of the season.
Yeah.
It's pretty good though.
It's always good. I also wrote down, is Alice actually getting married to Edgar?
It's her son. It's like a spiritual marriage. Do you know what I mean? Like, I imagine he's married to many people.
Yeah, for sure. That feels like a very like stereotypical cult thing for sure. And then finally, final speculation question is, what's with G? Is there a specific reason the drug manufacturer wants to make people rabid, or is that just an unintentional side effect?
If Kurtz is the manufacturer, I think he wants to be distracting to FP and Jug. I think he is kind of like an anarchist in the sense that he just like wants things
agent
to be
of chaos.
Fucking nuts.
Yeah.
An agent of chaos.
Some
yeah.
people just want to watch the world burn, that sort of thing.
So he's like, oh, yeah, like that's a good way to do it.
Oh, God. So that means he's like on Reddit posting Pepe the Frog memes and stuff,
yeah,
too,
exactly.
right?
Yeah.
Okay, so Kurt sucks.
mm-hmm.
I think that's probably a good read of it. He just is chaos personified, mm-hmm. chaotic evil.
Let's do some fan theories.
The first one is from one of our foremost theorists on Twitter, Bowyer30. He said, Edgar and Chick have a sinister connection. Maybe my Team Rocket dreams will come true and Evelyn and Chick are double trouble. But either way, I think Archie will somehow be heartbroken. And Veronica will be there to say, don't spiral Archiekins with ample vocal fry.
Ooh, so that's like, I don't respect that vocal fry comment, yeah. But okay. As a woman on a microphone. Mm-hmm. But
although I was also called out on my vocal fry. So. Whatever.
What's Team Rocket?
Pokemon.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I know all about that.
So I know a little. I think he just means that he thinks they're in cahoots. Which is interesting. I mean, the Edgar Chick sinister connection thing, I think as much as we've talked about Charles coming back, it just, like, even though his name hasn't been mentioned in so long, it's like Chick is, like, Charles adjacent, of course, so.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with what you're, like, I was like, he's Chick, he's Charles. Yeah. The end, period.
Right.
And I still believe that, but I do think you're right. Because how could she think that, like, Hart Denton was her son? Mm-hmm. Like, what's this timeline here? Like,
yeah, I mean,
you could also say Chad Michael Murray is playing 33 when he's 43, you know, so.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was always the question, too. It's like, is he old enough to be the, but it's like, is he young enough?
It makes no sense because, like, FP's 50 and then, but they were in high school. It's like, right. Whatever. Yeah.
My brain's going to explode. Mm-hmm. Do you want to read the next theory?
Yes, it's from @internetqueer. Evelyn, clap is clap, not clap. Okay. Evelyn is not a normal teen. Maybe the orphan-style twist, a witch from Greendale aging endlessly slow as we know is canon in this universe, cult ritual making her look younger. Something is up, yo.
Fun.
I like that. I like the voice. Yes, I agree. Yeah. She's like 27.
The Orphan is that horror movie from like a couple years back where it's like they adopt someone who actually is like much older and crazy.
It happens a lot. It's like been a plot in SVU a few times. Really? You know what I mean? Where it's like a teenager gets raped or, you know, whatever, and then they find out they're like prosecuting, and then they're like, wait a minute,
lying,
she went to
age.
High school in 92, like that. Wow. Kind of thing, like, hey, when we ran her mugshot, we found a, you know, whatever.
I love that,
and it's a great storyline, so I think that's kind of what Betty's gonna find out about her.
Well, I hope so. I mean, we've been saying it for a little bit now, and it seems like a lot of people online really like that theory. So
it's also, how do I put this, it seems very easy to fake. Do you know what I mean? Other, like, I don't know if you register for school, if you have to have a social security number, if they run that social security number somewhere.
That's a good point.
I mean, don't think so, because I think you can be an immigrant and like,
yeah,
like I could just walk into a high school and be like, I'm 17, not right. Me, because I don't look 17. But do you know what I mean?
Sure. Yeah.
Does you have a right to go to school whether or not you have like a social security number?
And Weatherby sucks and seems willing to turn a blind eye or just not notice something. And
so as long as you have like a parent walk in with you and say like, I need to register my kid.
Right.
And as long as you start showing up and have an address in the district.
She's.
I think it's, I don't want to say that it's fairly easy to do this because like, what do I know? But
yeah.
It seems easier than it should be.
Well, it's. On some level, it's like, yeah, if you want to go get your high school education, I don't care how old you are, go for it. So
I don't disagree with
more
that.
Power to you.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Other than it's like distracting if you're 45 in a class like at lunch every day. But
yeah,
she's not distracting. So
I mean, she kind of is with the farm.
Yeah, but not like whatever.
Yeah.
You get it.
The last theories I have on here are from my mom. I had to text her and be like, hey, it's been a minute, but what do you think about what's going on in Riverdale?
Jeez. Mom's name is Andrea, right?
Yes.
What's Andrea? What's Andrea's thoughts?
Yeah, Andrea's thoughts. I think her overarching theory is still that just like the Midnight Club parents are really going to have to kind of like band together to save Alice and the farm. And they
get out of their own ass.
Yeah. She thinks FP is going to.
I like how she identifies with the parents.
Oh, totally. Of course. Yeah, she does. And she said she thinks Gladys is behind the drugs being supplied to the farm, too.
That makes sense.
So, right, there's drugs going to the jail / the gargoyles, and they're doing stuff. The farm is getting these drugs to, like, influence people. I think it makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm. I like what your mom says here about she wants FP to be the one to save Alice from the farm. Because it was interesting because when Hal was like, is your mom dating?
Mm-hmm.
And then Betty was like, oh, she has this, like, weird, like, friendship with Edgar. But it's like, what about fucking FP? Like,
yeah, because
your mom was dating FP for a long time.
And it was only,
but
like,
never strong enough to get a divorce, apparently.
Right, which is weird.
Yeah.
And it was only like 2 or 3 episodes ago where when Gladys was like actually in town again, the Alice was like, do you love her?
Yeah.
I don't know. That, like, doesn't fully line up with.
There's a lot of times I think with Riverdale, you have to be like, that doesn't track. Oh, well.
Right. Yeah. I think anytime we've seen Alice with the other parents doing Midnight Club stuff, it's like, oh, she seems so normal here. And obviously, she's really far gone into the farm.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing goes for, I mean, we don't hear, like, anything from him for Fangs, where it's like, how can he be in the farm now fully, but also just, like, in the, I mean, that's less
in the Serpent's
case,
Well?
Yeah.
Are they still having their weird, like, are the Serpents still, like, training to be cops? Other than Jughead?
Don't know.
Like, they're like, come see this, like, mangled dead body with me, Jughead. Anyways.
Yeah.
Thanks, Dad.
Yeah, Jug and his dad are really, like, working together in this app, and the rest of the guys don't matter.
Speaking of mangled dead bodies, next week's ep, if you want to play the name game, it's called Fear the Reaper.
Which, I mean,
I think it's got to be Don't Fear the Reaper. Like, blew it. Like it's referencing that.
I mean, that's what immediately comes to mind. And, like, did a search, and I think there's, like, another movie or something called Fear the Reaper, but it's from, like, 2007. Was probably, like, a direct-to-video horror movie. So I don't know that we can pull any real clues from it, but Decider is Alex Zalbin, who I've mentioned before, just always on the Riverdale beat for Decider, pointed out that we've already heard about the Riverdale Reaper, who, of course, was the older serial killer in town that was actually Hal's dad and kind of, like, put him down that path.
Ooh, maybe this will be a Nana Rose app.
Yeah. Well.
Ooh, fingers crossed.
Another really interesting
detail. Remember, like, we had never heard all that stuff about, like, the tree and, like, the...
Did you catch, there was another really interesting detail that Roberto shared a photo from filming
tree?
When they wrapped, and it was this big tree again.
Yeah.
And it's like, for them to come back to that tree, it's like, okay, yeah, how much is this tying in then too?
Because we've talked about that we wanted a flashback up beyond just, like, we wanted a two-generation flashback up.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I don't know that we're going to get it, because you would have seen a bunch of, like, fun costume photos online, but that would be exciting. And also, maybe that's why Hal wants to get out of jail.
I think we learn more pretty soon about that. I would love to. More, the more Nana Rose, the better.
No, fingers crossed.
Yeah. Let's take a final break and we'll come back and wrap things up with the blue and gold.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi: People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
We are back for the latest edition of The Blue and Gold, where we talk about our favorite Riverdale adjacent moments every week from the cast, the fans, and beyond. Blue and Gold, not an ongoing concern in Riverdale High School.
I know. It's not
really. They're busy.
Nobody's really running anymore.
It's kind of like me in high school. Like, I was like the editor of a newspaper, and it came out like 6, 8, 4 weeks. You know, like whenever people turn their shit in.
That's really funny. Yeah.
It's like, not a regular schedule.
Yeah, but then when it does come out in this show, it's like the whole town is reading about what's written in it. So.
Yeah. These teenagers have their finger on the pulse.
Yeah, what's going on?
So we talked about this briefly, but I see your notes here. You want to dive into that?
I just wanted to share my concerns about KJ's film career.
He was in The Hate U Give as a kind of a last minute replacement, and I thought he was good.
Mm-hmm.
But he's making some dubious choices.
Well, I remember this being the case towards the end of last year. It's like they line up projects, obviously, in their summer between shooting the seasons, and he had filmed this movie in Chicago called The Last Summer, and Netflix just shared a trailer.
Last Days of Summer?
Yeah, Last Days of
Summer. Or is it Last Summer?
Yeah. Okay. Did you watch it?
I did not watch the trailer.
Well, aside from stoking the flames of my, like, Chicago nostalgia, because I've almost been gone for a year now. I thought it was one of the most dull trailers I've ever seen.
Oh, no.
And it's just, they're just spouting lines that's like such typical high school movie stuff, which it's like, fair, this isn't for me anymore, but it's like.
It's Netflix, yeah.
Yeah, it's
as
like,
well.
everyone being like, this is our last chance to make it happen, our last chance to say it. You know, it's like, no,
it's not. Is he playing a high schooler in it?
What?
Is he playing a high schooler?
Mm-hmm.
Cool, cool, cool.
But I was like, okay, well, I obviously choose to believe that this is Archie spending his last summer in Chicago with his mom, but that's not the case.
I feel like that, I don't know, that's like the can't hardly wait. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where it's like, we got to make this one night count. And that trope certainly works, and I enjoy movies that are like that.
Yeah.
But as you get older, it is harder to enjoy those types of movies unless they have, like, something else to offer.
Yeah, that's true.
I
don't mean to be too cynical about
it. No, I don't think you're being too cynical. I mean, Cameron, you're practically 30, so.
I know.
I'm just joking.
No, it's true.
But if that movie was done well, we would still enjoy it.
Yeah.
As like, we are arrested in our development somewhat and in that we can enjoy shows like Riverdale
mm-hmm.
and like I liked The Kissing Booth. Do you know what I mean?
Like, oh, yeah.
All this uh-huh. like
it's all the boys I loved
there
before.
Are things, yeah, there are totally like things meant for 14-year-olds that I enjoy.
But we're just
is this
going to
be one? TBD.
TBD.
I will say,
yeah.
Speaking of it being Chicago, that I have a tendency to be hypercritical of things that are based around the music industry or journalism
uh-huh.
or set in Chicago.
Or things that you know. Yeah.
Or things that are set in Chicago. So it's hard for me to enjoy it because I'm like, ugh, there is not something at Belmont and like,
yeah.
not, that is not a bike ride.
I do want to watch it out of that yeah. curiosity for sure.
But
I mean,
you have to suspend your disbelief.
Right. To its credit, it does. Like, there's a scene at a train stop. There's a scene where they're, like, on the water right by the lake downtown. It's like, mm-hmm. They filmed it there. So there's that.
Mm-hmm. But I did not see. I wonder where he hung out.
Yeah, right. The the other KJ career movie career news that we had mentioned at the top was that he, like, booked this role in the faith-based movie. That
announced it at CinemaCon.
Yeah.
Him and
Gary Sinise.
Cool. Gary Sinise also makes questionable choices sometimes.
Yeah, I just, I
don't
know.
Very talented actor, been in some amazing projects. Mm-hmm. Like, if you heard he was involved, you'd be like, oh, amazing. But also make some like, VOD type
right.
choices.
It just,
I don't know who this guy is, but he's obviously very popular.
Yeah, I mean, I
like,
know.
Inspirational.
I forget what this follow-up is called, but the song that he originally, it's like the follow-up to a movie about this guy's life already. But the song...
Oh, it's a second movie?
Yeah.
It's called I Still Believe.
And the original song is called I Can Only Imagine... Or movie is called I Can Only Imagine or something like that. But that is a song that, like, not, like, living... in, you know, not... I'm just aware of that as a song about God. But interesting.
He is playing Jeremy Camp.
Sure.
It's called I Still Believe. The movie follows the spiritual journey of Camp. Camp has sold over 5 million albums and toured the world. 4 RIAA certified gold. Gold is what, like 100? 500? 500 now, I think?
Yeah.
Two AMAs, multiple ASCAPs, 38 number one songs, depending on the chart.
Yeah.
And a gold single, a multi-platinum DVD. I wonder how a DVD goes platinum. I think it's like different standards.
Oh, I think so too.
Do you know what I mean?
Right.
But whatever.
I think that it feels like a very safe move, and I just want more for him. I just want him to do something different. I feel like I don't know. These roles are not. I just want more. I'm just being selfish, and
here's,
I want more.
Here's the rest of this Deadline article. It's a Lionsgate movie. It's a Kingdom Studios full slate of faith-based projects. I Can Only Imagine was a hit on the Christian circuit last year, making over $83 million for roadside attractions. It's pretty big.
That's a lot.
The pick followed the unknown, because it probably cost $3 million to make.
Mm-hmm.
The pick followed the unknown true story behind Mercy Me's beloved chart-topping song that brings ultimate hope to so many and is a gripping reminder of the power of true forgiveness.
Hmm.
Okay.
Well, you know, I guess if he does get to sing and perform in it, it's like
that's also... That could be who KJ is. Do you
yeah,
know what I mean? Like, I don't
true.
Know him.
Yeah.
He does have, like, a big cross tattoo, I think.
I think so.
Yeah.
I just want to see him do some, like, stretch his, like, character actor muscles a little bit.
It feels a little early to be jumping into, like, this feels, and it could be a very popular movie.
Oh, I'm sure it will make money. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just have these insane standards, and I just want them all to be successful.
Yes.
And, I mean, I guess he will be successful. He's obviously making money off this movie that'll mm-hmm. probably make also $83 million.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of that.
Yeah.
He's also releasing a record.
Oh.
Have you been following his Instagram where he's like recording with his band?
I guess I've seen
And they're like
that.
Playing some dates and like Joaquin's in the band.
Yeah, Joaquin's in it. Well, we obviously have to go see that.
His music tastes are not good. It's like he loves like Third Eye Blind. Like it's like his favorite band of all time.
Interesting. Just because it's like, wait, how old is he? I mean, how much?
20? 22?
Yeah. And when was the height of Third Eye Blind? Like before he was old 96? Enough to really.
Probably when he's before he was born.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Fair enough, dudes. You know what I mean? But right. That, I mean, because that's kind of like people when I was in high school being like real into like CCR, mm-hmm. maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Just like it's like a classic rock situation for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, that's true. Funny to think of that way, but I guess it is.
Yeah.
You
also have a shout out here on your notes.
Yeah, I mean, I just have not been able to get through all of Sabrina Part 2 yet. And I think it's safe to say just because now we're like full on like wrapping up the Riverdale season mode over the next month, like we probably aren't really going to cover it in any formal capacity, Part 2 of Sabrina, like we did with Season 1. But from what I have seen, Michelle Gomez is MVP. She is amazing. I love her hair. She, every line delivery is perfect. So if you're watching, you know what I mean, but I just love her. Just want to shout her out.
Big ups, Michelle Gomez.
But that's all I've got.
Yeah, let's wrap things up.
Sounds
good. And we'll
come
back next week. Dial M for Maple is a production of Onion Inc. Our theme music is by Stuart Wood. And our engineer is Rill.
Yeah.
This week, new engineer. The show is hosted by me, Mara Eakin, and Cameron Sheets. If you like the show, tell your friends, and they can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, etc. You can also follow us on Twitter independently at Mara E. and at Cameron Sheets,
mm-hmm.
and at Dial M for Maple.
Please do that.
That's where you'll find all the hottest news.
We love
updates.
To share the hot news.
We will see you guys next week when we hope to find out whether or not Evelyn is pulling a Never Been Kissed in Riverdale High. Ooh, I really hope
so.
She is, but like in a worse way.
Yeah, in a bad way, for sure. Bye-bye, Bulldogs. Mm-hmm.